Hello and welcome to episode 556 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter, JoeyMoser83.
Happy Pride. And Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Welcome back, guys. It's been a little bit.
Yeah.
Happy summer. Happy Pride. Happy June. June is busting out
happy
all over.
Happy graduation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are approaching empty nest syndrome.
My mom said how hard it is. So her thoughts are with you. She's like, Clarence is probably going through it right now.
Well, you know, we my wife and I, we like to say that Ava's been, Ava's my daughter, obviously, she's been training us for the emptiness syndrome by being away constantly. It was really different when, you know, when my son went to college. That was during COVID. So we were all very close. I mean, that it almost like was harder because he had been in the house for so many months, year, you know, even, you know, while we were sequestering and all that. And then now my daughter's flying the coop, but we're excited about it. It was a good weekend. It was a good day. It was so funny because we sat down and her high school had the early morning slot on the graduation day, and it was in downtown Raleigh. And so it was 45 minutes away from our house, and she had to be there at 7 o'clock. So, you know, we were backing up the clock, and it was like, we had to get up at like 4 or 5. And so we decided to spend the night in a hotel across the street from the convention center where they held the graduation. And I didn't sleep at all that night, or slept very little, just because I don't sleep well in hotels. And so we get into the building and they start playing like the I don't know if they did the Pledge of Allegiance or America the Beautiful or something like that. And then the pomp and circumstance starts to play. And I'm like fighting back tears so badly. And I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I'm just sitting there like, but we got through it, and it was a great day.
That's so good. Good.
I'm incredibly proud of
to
her.
Ava. Congratulations to you and Lane.
So we'll see. Maybe you might see Lane at some film festivals. Anyway, so yeah, looking forward to it. What did you guys do this weekend?
Saw some movies. I saw Stop That Train, which was a lot of fun. And yeah, saw Disclosure Day, which we're going to talk about. I've been going to the movies a ton lately, I feel like, more than usual. Maybe because there's so much out that I really want to see, which is a really good feeling, I think.
It's a great year for movies. It's a great year for content. And it's such a cliche to say, but I feel like there's something out there for every taste. Like,
and
you
I,
know,
I feel
Disclosure
like it's
Day.
coming back. I feel like we're
Yes.
actually coming back finally, too.
And Jalal was telling me there's some, I don't remember the exact words, but it was some stat about we will have, if you look at the last 4 weekends, and then you look at the calendar for the next 2 months, we will have movies, brand new movies that open over $40 million until July 24th, because there's actually nothing opening wide on July 24th because it's the weekend between Odyssey and Spider-Man.
Oh.
When's the last time we've heard that long, over 2 months of movies, brand new movies opening $40 million each time?
That's a really interesting stat that I have not thought about.
Because
And it's all like original stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
I heard, wait, did you see Backrooms, Clarence? I don't think we've talked about.
No, I have not
No.
seen Backrooms yet.
I am obsessed with it. I will not watch it again, but I really loved it.
Why won't you watch it again?
It had such a physical, visceral experience. Like it has like a jumpy camera in the beginning. And then I felt very claustrophobic. And I'm not a claustrophobic person, but I was dizzy coming out of that theater, but I was also dizzy with like, what did I just watch? And it was a great feeling, even though I was also like, disoriented, but I was just so excited. I'm like, wow, this was an two, like I saw two original films in a row, actually three or four, Disclosure Day, and like it's just been really nice to see things that aren't all like sequels.
But we are heading into sequel and IP territory.
Guess what? Toy Story 5, Supergirl,
Supergirl.
Jackass, Minions.
I heard Jackass is like a clip show, and I'm kind of disappointed.
Oh, that's stupid.
I'll probably still see it though, because I
My
do.
God, every time I see that Moana commercial, I want to hurl myself out the nearest window.
But
I
you know
haven't seen
that's gonna do well. I mean, you know it's gonna open.
it.
What comes after Moana? There's one more.
Moana, The Odyssey,
The Odyssey.
then The
Then,
Odyssey, then Spider-Man, and
yeah.
then
I
I
was very
guess.
confused in the new Spider-Man trailer, the Brand New Day one. Did May die?
Yes. Yeah, she got killed in the last one.
She was over 40, so she had to go.
I go, May died? I was like,
No, that's a fake headstone.
I was like shocked, even though I have not seen the movies since the first one. So I'm a few behind, but I was really upset.
Need to go back and before Brand New Day, I need to go back and rewatch that one because I remember seeing it in theater and just being completely underwhelmed by it. But just because there was so much going on in that one, I barely
Michael Keaton
remember.
was in it.
Yeah. And Jamie Foxx, you know, the
Oh,
whole,
yeah.
that's the one where they blended all the different Spider-Man
That's
universes.
great.
So, all right. So we are talking about Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day, a kind of an original film, yes, although it has heavy DNA in another film of his. And I'm sure that'll come up in our conversation. We'll talk about what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, and kind of what we think the film is about ultimately. Spoiler alert, I don't think it's about aliens. And then of course we'll close with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. You guys ready? So Joey, why don't you tell
Oh,
us about
fuck.
Disclosure Day?
Disclosure Day is not, I would argue, is not about aliens.
I don't think it is either. I think we can all agree on that.
I would say on the face of it, it is about how we actually find the truth about, you know, like Mulder's jerking it to this movie. Like, oh, the truth is out there. It's
I love this log line, by the way.
and there and
He would
there
not
and
hear my elevator pitch. They're like, sir, please leave. It's basically about how all these different people, you have like a meteorologist, you have a cybersecurity person. They find themselves coming together when you ultimately find out that there is a massive government alien cover up. I have to say, it's been, I would actually argue that it's a political thriller about how the government suppresses the press and the truth. I like an hour and a half into it, I leaned over to Jason and I was like, "Replace aliens with the Epstein files." And he like looked at me. He was like, "No," just like, never mind. So Emily Blunt is like, "What's going on with my body? I'm walking up to people saying the most random stuff." And Josh O'Connor has to defend Eve Hewson, I guess. And he used to work for the government, but now he's like an alien whistleblower, essentially. And it all leads to Simpsons voice Disclosure Day. The
Which do you think that on the ride over to the end of the film that Emily Blunt was like, guys, we have to have a name for what today is.
You mean the character? She's like,
Yes, do you think she was like, guys,
well, she's not the
Margaret
one who
Fair?
says, she's not the one who says disclosure. I think Josh O'Connor is.
No,
Yeah.
she says it.
But I think he says it first.
Does he say it
Because
first?
he says, full disclosure, we're gonna release it, full disclosure.
Oh, but that's not like he
And like
doesn't
Eve
say
Houston is like
today is
tucking the
disclosure
Demi Moore
day.
DVD back into her pocket.
I just kept
He's
thinking,
like,
was she
it's
like
time! And he's like, oh, aliens, she's like, never mind. That's what it is. So I actually am a little surprised when, because I know, I think I heard Megan's opinion about it first, and she was not to speak for her, but I think she's a big old. And then I found out what Clarence's opinion was, and I think Clarence is a little. And then I saw it today, and I was like, okay, I like some of that. Would I be accurate in those assumptions?
Yes, but I think I should just from now on assume that you like most things, because you do like give
That
the
is not
benefit
true. The
of the.
amount of bitching that I do on this podcast, I do not like most
I
things.
wish we had a clip reel right now, or we could go to all the moments that you bitched, and it could be like Kent Brockman being
I
like,
mean, that would be not a clip reel. That would be like an epic Joey's
my
Odyssey through
dick,
hate.
Chris Nolan.
Did I see it first then, or did Clarence, did you get to see it an early screening or anything?
No, I saw it Thursday night. So I
Okay,
guess
I
I
saw
saw it
it
first.
Friday.
Yeah.
What did you think then before I jump into it?
It's a very, very, very messy film. It's a film at war with different with itself. There's a lot that I think it I haven't stopped thinking about it. So that gives it a, some pluses in my book. I just cut through what I liked and what I didn't like about it. I didn't really like anything that had anything to do with Josh O'Connor or Colin Firth or Coleman Domingo.
I agree.
For
I'm waiting for
me,
you to be like, or Emily Blunt, or this person,
no.
or that person.
For me, the film is Emily Blunt. And every
Yeah.
time she wasn't on screen, I missed her. And every time she was doing something, I was like grasping onto my seat and my heart was pounding. And at one point I actually stepped out of my body while I was watching the film, and not literally, metaphorically, but I sat there and I'm like, I really turned around on this film in the last 5 minutes. She's amazing.
I think she's amazing too.
There it it A lot of people have talked about it, in the lead up to this. 2, 3 months ago, was this a sequel to Close Encounters of the Third Kind? And they've called it, they switched pretty quickly to, it's a spiritual sequel to Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I wish it had just been a straight up sequel to Close Encounters, because there's so much that they tiptoe around. It is almost, in some ways, you could line up moments in this film that directly align with moments of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's like he's revisiting the same story, with slightly different techniques. Like, I know people don't like the, I'm not going to spoil it, but I know people don't like the ending because it's abrupt. Same thing with Close Encounters. Richard Dreyfuss walks into a spaceship and that's it. And I know people back then were like, but I want to see where he goes, and I know a lot of people online have said, I don't like this ending. I want to see what that should have been, the first third of the film. I want to see what happens after. I think it's a film that asks a lot of questions, and I don't think it's a film that wants to pose answers. I think it's a film that wants you to think about answers. But
Yeah.
there are some scenes in here that I thought were brilliant just because of Steven Spielberg's direction.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of material in here that I thought, yes, Joey, I think you're absolutely right. It wants to be a 70s political thriller like The Parallax View or something like that. I just don't think it's very good at that. I think a lot of what it does in that category is kind of cliche. If it had just been straight up, you know what, I'm Close Encounters, I'm a sequel, and Emily Blunt has some connection to all of this, and just kind of reimagined it that way, I think it would have been a more successful film. Just in closing, I can't help but say it was a bit of a disappointment to me because it was one of my most anticipated films of the year.
It was mine too.
I didn't dislike it. I can't say that I didn't love it. I'm really in the middle of it, of a B minus kind of era.
I really did not like it. I think maybe because my expectations were higher. I agree with everything you just said though. I think I was just put off by things that were messy, like the fact that none of those CIA or FBI people could hit a shot on Josh O'Connor. Like, he's right out in the open. It's just, it felt like a Mystery Science Theater movie at points where, like, he's right there. You guys don't see him. Like, just kind of crazy stuff. I was also getting into arguments with film bros on Twitter about the whole magic stick, because I didn't know the full extent of its powers. I don't think it was explained that well, other than, you know, that he, Colin Firth, who does some of the best sit acting in any film this year, he's always in a chair in every scene. He,
Oh
even in the
my.
last scene too, he's
Well,
got that.
he fell down on the floor a couple of times, just to be fair.
Yes. Okay. But that's still. But I was also like, yes, let's count it. Get it. Get it on there. But like the whole thing with the wand, the magic stick, like, I guess, like, they're like, don't touch it in the beginning. Okay. And then you can't touch it. Then some people can touch it. Then Boyd fucking disappears at some point. And that, I didn't realize that that was like, I don't know. I just felt like that was what people called it, a MacGuffin stick too, that like it can kind of do whatever it wants. It hinges very heavily on the plot. I didn't quite, that didn't quite work for me. The Eve Hewson, Josh O'Connor relationship didn't work for me. The whole, like, when she's talking about, like, he's like shows her the aliens, and the first thing she thinks is like, you can't show the people this because then they won't believe in God. And I was just like, that's such a huge leap. I know she's a nun or a former nun, but it was just such a huge leap. I felt like it just, there are a lot of things that just, there are so many ideas that I loved that still Spielberg was going after. Like, I love this idea that, you know, that what would people think about God with that? But I felt like it I wanted to feel like an earned type of feeling of like, oh wow, like that's piecing it, instead of just right away. And there were some great scenes. The final couple of moments are really interesting. I just was like, I don't know. I was so confused, and I just didn't care after a while. And also, you know, some people were saying that they think the aliens sexually abused Emily Blunt and
Fucking
Josh O'Connor.
stupid.
Do you know, have you seen that online? People are
I
talking
saw
about.
your reaction to it, and then I saw the original tweet, and I was like, we're losing the plot here, guys.
It's now becoming a thing, like they say, especially with Josh O'Connor, because he was having such a reaction to the aliens.
There are aliens.
I
That's
know.
why he's scared.
Right. But
Sorry. Like,
this is a bigger, I mean, I want to keep the conversation focused on DeSoto today, but I think it's a bigger problem where I don't know if it's I don't know if it's a side effect of Taylor Swift or whatever, but these Easter eggs, this insistency on
that's
going
Marvel.
and
It's
watching
Marvel.
things and then going on YouTube and then finding different explanations for it that don't have any base in fact in the original piece of art. They're like, no, you see this clock is pointed to 7 o'clock, and that means they were molested 7 times, or
Right.
you know, it just it's not in the film. Steven Spielberg isn't going to make a movie about kids getting molested by aliens. That's like E.T. doesn't finger bang them. That's not why the finger got glowed. Sorry. Spoiler alert. Sorry. That just it's stuff
Yeah.
like that that just makes me just ache for culture.
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
it's fine to say this film was terrible. I don't think Steven Spielberg did a great job directing it. Fine, that's somebody's opinion. But don't
Right.
go and read some offensive stuff into it. I mean, no, I'm not saying that about you. I'm just saying in
No,
general.
and honestly, the direction is great. Like, I don't really have a problem with the direction. It's the, okay, Joey's still having a reaction. It's the story. I was just kind of like, there was a lot jammed into it, and I felt like, I kind of wondered if it could have just focused on Emily Blunt's journey, and maybe we just
Yes.
meet up with Josh O'Connor later. But like him starting out with the, like, first of all, I did not expect a Spielberg movie to start out with a wrestling match. I was like, what, am I in the right movie? Which was kind of
I
funny.
100% thought that too. I thought, is this a trailer for something else?
Yeah.
Am I in the wrong movie? Did I walk into the wrong
Yeah.
theater? Is there a
It's a,
wrestling match? Is this the
right.
UFC fight on the White House lawn?
Yeah.
Like,
It's a
what?
weird way to start it. But what if they did start with Emily Blunt and then made her meet up with Joshua? I feel like they started with, I hate to say this, because I do think Josh O'Connor is a great actor and so is Eve Houston, but they started with like the least interesting part first. I don't know.
Agreed. I agree.
Yeah.
And Joey will, open it up for you. But I do want to say I wish Emily Blunt is the Richard Dreyfuss of this film. And I'm talking
Yeah.
about Richard Dreyfuss from Close Encounters. I wish she had followed that trajectory. It would have been really neat to have a sequel to that where she follows some of the same, the obsession over something you don't understand. A force that you can't control, or
Yeah.
impulse being drawn to a location, drawn to a place because of some broader thing, and then overlay that with a conversation about, disclosure of aliens and spirituality. Like
Yeah.
that. And I read today that this came from a 40 to 50 page treatment by Spielberg, and then
He
the
wrote it on his
screenwriter.
notes app.
Yeah, and then the screenwriter David Cope did 40 drafts, and it feels like it. It just feels very messy, very disconnected. A lot of ideas that don't kind of
Yeah.
work together. But anyway,
I was
Joey,
going to say one more
watch
thing
it.
before Joey. Did you think that when they wheeled out Paul that that was going to be ET?
I saw them go
I
to
was like,
that,
please,
and this is a
please.
bit of a spoiler. I saw them go to that at the end, and I thought, you're going to ruin this very awesome moment with something very, very cheesy. As soon as I saw a character wheel that box out of the car, I'm like, or the truck, the panel truck, I was like, oh no, 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 no. And I thought it wasn't as bad as I expected. No, I didn't think it was going to be ET. I thought it was probably going to be one of those Close Encounters type.
Oh, that would have been kind of cool. I really thought it'd be ET, be like, I'm back, bitches. I never left.
It
Where's
should have been
Elliot?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, that would have been so cool. He's like, I'm
He's
still
canceled. They wouldn't
here.
put him in a movie. No, he
No.
is canceled. Yep. Anyway, Joey, what did you think?
I agree that it is messy. I would actually even argue that maybe some of the scenes, like the interstitial scene, like the scene with her trying to destroy her phone, and like she throws it out the window and she's like, oh, it's wet. Oh, you have to run over it. And it turns into this like weirdly almost comic, but she's so emotional and like she's really stressed out. She doesn't know what the hell's going on. She's really confused moment. And I was like, that's what's more alien than the aliens. Like, is this like a scene written by aliens about humans? Like almost. I saw some people afterwards today being like, Steven Spielberg doesn't know how to direct action anymore. And I was like, shut the fuck up.
No, that train sequence is some of the best stuff he's directed in
Oh my
years.
God, that was so
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that it feels. I only like to sort of say this about certain stuff that I feel more confident in saying this about. But like some of it feels like a little bit of a rough draft, and some of it feels way more polished. The Emily Blunt stuff, I was really, I mean, I was about to say lifelong, but I mean, we haven't been around for the same amount of time. Ever since she broke up, big Emily Blunt fan. Big. And I thought she was pretty astonishing in this movie.
Yes, she's fantastic.
She's so good.
I
And I
just
think
wish
some
she
of the
had
like,
like better material to work with. Like, I wish it
I
were
think her
like,
material's good enough, though. I think
it's good,
her.
but I don't think it's like a fully fledged, like, I don't understand her character, I guess. Like, I want to know more. Like, I wish it was just about her. Like, and continue.
Sure. No, I do. I agree with that. But I mean, I don't know if you can like almost say that. I don't think that takes away from what is
It
actually
doesn't take
there.
away from the performance, but I just feel like it feels like underbaked, the whole thing. Like it doesn't, there's, I think, I don't know, it just feels underbaked.
Well, and then I thought some of the stuff, the only part that I thought for her that felt a little under was the whole thing. I thought when she went into the house, spoiler, I guess, goes into the beautifully meticulous house from her childhood, I was like, oh, there's going to be something with her dad in there. There's going to be something with dealing with Parkinson's in there. There's going to be there's something like really upsetting is going to be in there. It's going to be a real fuck. But I don't know. I thought some of the I thought the Eve Hewson conversation about faith and religion as somebody who has no faith and doesn't like to see it in a lot of things. I was like, I want a whole movie about that fucking group of nuns.
Elizabeth Marvel.
Elizabeth Marvel looking over those glasses like this, like the
I
whole
knew
movie.
I recognized that face. I love her.
I mean, think about it if, and again, I'm not a screenwriter, but think about it if Emily Blunt's character was and Eve Hewen's character were the same person, and she was the novitiate, and she was the one that declined, turned away from the church, turned away from not faith, but lost her faith in humanity, and then she started having these. Is this the voice of God? Is this, is this an alien thing? Like, that play on religion. I mean, I think it brings up some of those issues, but I don't think it explores them as much as it wants to explore this paranoia, the 70s paranoia thriller.
I think it wants to do too much. Like even going back to Joey, what you just said about like her dad with Parkinson's. Like I was kind of like, what did she say something like she left him or something? Which like would she I know
She said she basically didn't want to be around him. She basically pushed him away because she was uncomfortable.
I'm in the minority here, but I did not like the panic attack scene. I thought she was great in it, but I just thought like, okay, I was just kind of like, okay. Like
Well,
I didn't I yeah.
we also don't know, like maybe there was something else and it got cut. I don't know. I mean, it's that's like a special features sort of thing. Is that
I
still
do
a thing?
feel
Just special features on a Blu-ray? I don't know.
they should have cut down that the phone scene should have been cut more. Also, there's this scene where they're on the bus and they look by and like she's on the other bus and I was just like, cut that. Like just cut that.
I do think even though I do think it's messy, I still had a really good time, and I would say honestly about until about almost like halfway through, like the sort of reaction that I had with the trailer, I was like, what are you watching? It's like, and I was very much on board with kind of finding that out. I don't know, the sort of like long sequences where I don't know, like the sequence when she comes back to the news station at the very end, and they're like, she's going on, she has a special report. And I don't know, sort of like the longer sequences of that I really liked. So that's not something like Spielberg is necessarily known for, I guess. So I don't know. I think it's worth, to me, it's at least worth acknowledging that. I don't know, maybe I'm sorry, I keep rambling, whatever, but there are certain parts, especially at the beginning, where I was like, this doesn't feel like a Steven Spielberg movie. But then like when it gets into like in the pocket of that, I was like, now this is a Steven Spielberg movie. So I don't know if there's like too many ideas and he has to shove them away or cut it out. I don't know, but
I think one of the other things that kind of impacted my I enjoyed it. I was never bored by it. I don't think it's a very good film, but one of the things that kind of continued to weigh on my head was he's coming off of like his last sci-fi aliens work were AI, a film that I consider a masterpiece. Minority Report, a very good film, and even War of the Ro War of the Worlds, something that, a film I have massive issues with, but I still think is incredibly well made. And and then there's this, and those films all felt very clinical and just expertly made and sliced together. And this just feels so haphazard and slapdash by comparison, and that's what disappointed me.
I
What
agree
if
with that.
Emily Blunt was the grown-up version of Dakota Fanning? from War of the Worlds. So,
that
like at the beginning of this, she's like, "Never
wouldn't
again."
make it that wouldn't make any sense because the world would have been destroyed by aliens, and then all of a sudden they're surprised by the existence of aliens.
I'm not a screenwriter.
What did you think of the ending? I mean, can we talk about the ending, the last? I mean, I've spoiled so many things, I feel like, but I know everybody's talking about the news anchor should be up for an Academy Award, apparently, for her 30 seconds of screen time. She is great,
She's great.
but
What's her
she's
name?
yeah,
What's her name?
I do know this. It's like Courtney something. I can't remember. But people have been talking about that. I feel like the cynic in me kept thinking,
What?
shut up, shut the fuck up right now. The cynic in me was like, there's no
Lot of
way
arguing in
these
this movie.
people, like on the bus and like scrolling through their phones, are all stopping to watch like an alien get beaten up. Like, I just can't. That's simplifying it. But I'm like, I mean, we see terrible things on the news every day that people are numb to. Do you think they're going to be like, oh,
Well, it.
wow, this is all uniting people together? And like, even my friend was like, well, I think he's trying to say, like, you know, that he's trying to think about empathy and he's trying, you know, human empathy. I guess I just have seen this is terrible enough human empathy to know that it's pretty much on life support. So I found that to be the biggest surprise, that the biggest magic special effect was the fact that all of those people stopped to look at their phones and were like worried about the aliens.
Let me counter that, if I may.
Sure, fine, go ahead.
That I feel like with every, almost every single alien invasion movie, now I will say, huge caveat at this moment in time, maybe a little fucked, but I'm saying I do feel like usually at every invasion movie, it automatically becomes us as a collective versus
Right.
them as a collective.
Right.
So I kind of buy into the empathy thing, even though that's a little hard. UFC on the White House lawn, what?
Like, you mean to tell me these guys I see on Hinge, they're not gonna be like, I wanna fucking punch an alien? Like, of course they're
Oh
gonna
my
wanna
God,
punch an
Megan.
alien. They are. Like,
Right, but that's not the movie, and that's why the last line of the film is listen. You know,
yes.
that's it's not the movie that he wants to make.
Right.
It is a likely reality, yes, but I think it, you know, and that's I think why a lot of people have reacted so strongly against it is because it's asking and imagining a world that definitely doesn't exist. It's like Spielberg is in this, and maybe that's why they're saying, you know, oh, boomer's making a movie now, because it's almost reminiscent of a world that we've lost.
Yeah.
And that and you know, the world in this film, which another issue that I have with it is I wanted to understand more about World War III that was getting ready to
Yes.
happen,
Yes.
but that was definitely left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Was more information about that, but and he would like to imagine an event, a cultural event that happens that stops everyone from hating each other, and we all unite on fascination with, in this case, aliens, you know.
Yeah. I think you make a good point. I think if he weren't wasn't trying to make so many parallels to what's going on now, like I feel like the World War III thing, maybe if you don't have that, maybe it is more of like, okay, maybe people would stop. But I felt like it was trying to be like realistic, I guess, in that way.
I do feel like at the point where they're like, we're cutting away from, we're going to our affiliate, and you saw like a couple maps on the screen. I was like, no, what's going on in the world? I was like, I need to see what's happening. No, aliens, great.
But I mean, it's not just the aliens we're getting operated on. It's a revelation of aliens. Disclosure Day becomes a revelation of aliens beyond just, look, it's, you know, a
Right.
light floating in the sky. It's
Yeah.
Roswell, you know.
Yes. And I kind of wish they would have had the discussion more of like, do people need to know this? Like, they hint at that, obviously. That is what they're arguing with, but I mean, I feel like the government just doesn't want people to know what they did. But I feel like there's also this to a degree of like, do we want to know? I don't know. I felt like I really wanted them to play more with that idea than just like, because even when like, Josh O'Connor's running around for half of this, and I'm just like, we know you've got alien stuff. Like you don't even have to like, okay, we know. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, there's a sharper, more, there's a deeper movie here. And maybe Spielberg is not the person to bring, like, I imagine like Martin Scorsese's version of this would double down on the religion stuff. And I don't know that, or another director would have brought
M. Night
more.
Shyamalan. It reminded me a lot of M. Night
He
Shyamalan.
could not direct this movie. He
No.
could not
I
direct.
gotta say, no. The thing, I remember another key memory moment when I saw Signs, and at the very end of the movie, my dad was whispering to me over and over again as we were getting ready to watch the last scene. He was like, oh my God, he's gonna find his fucking faith again. Oh my God, it's gonna be such a piece of shit. Oh my God, it's such bullshit. And he was so mad at that ending.
That is a dumb ending. I agree.
I heard a lot of people comparing. I saw somebody say, like, oh, this is mid-level M. Night Shyamalan. And I was like, you're gonna say, how dare you say that
It
a
does have
Spielberg movie?
Shyamalan tendencies, though. I kept
No,
thinking this reminds
Shyamalan's
me.
entire career was based off of Spielberg's
Yeah,
movies.
right. Obviously. So it's like, yeah, Shyamalan has Spielberg tendencies. But it did remind me of stuff that I've seen. Like people were pointing out that crop scene where it like makes the sign. They're like, what was the point of this scene?
Aliens.
Can
Aliens.
you answer that?
It's the
Can you?
thing. It's, well, I mean, I th
I
well,
don't
I
speak
didn't
crop circle, so no.
I didn't mind the glowing rod that much because they didn't understand what it did,
Right.
and I feel like, it is a bit of a MacGuffin. It's that's fine. I mean, that
Right.
can exist. I mean, it's the point by point plot is definitely not the point of this film. It is about the emotional experience
Right. I
that,
guess I'm dead inside,
no.
maybe. I don't know.
No, and I'm not going to go to some great lengths to. I do want to see it again. Now that I kind of have an understanding of what it is, and kind of revisit some things and see what works better on a second time. I'm not going to go to the theater to see it again. I'm probably going to wait for
Yeah.
streaming just to get a little bit of time. But I'm not going to sit here and defend it and say that it's a great film. It's clearly not, but I think there's a lot of good in it that made me ultimately say it's a film worth seeing.
Oh yeah, I think most films are like, there's no film really that's not worth seeing. I think the people should be able to make their own decision, because people were asking me, is it worth seeing? And I'm like, yeah, like make your own opinion about it.
Hate
Like
when
this
people say
is
that.
really
I hate when people say, "Is it worth seeing?" And I was like, "We're not the same person. Go see it."
right. Like I think that, everybody has a different opinion. I think I also, my expectations were really high because it's like, I almost admire it, the fact that it is messy though, because it like there is a version of this that's completely like J.J. Abrams like making Star Wars. He could have just done a like beat for beat remake of Close Encounters, and he doesn't do that. And not that he would ever, but like I respect the fact that he took such big swings too. Like I really do.
I would argue that it is a bit, it's not a beat for beat remake, but I would argue it is in, like, you can, like I said before, you can align scenes in Close Encounters with Disclosure Day, and they are essentially the same scene, just different characters.
But it's not fan service, though, like a J.J.
No,
Abrams thing would be.
absolutely not.
Like,
No. Because what I
yeah.
said before about Richard Dreyfuss coming back, that is half in jest, because that would be fan service. The
Right,
J.J.
yeah.
Abrams version of this film would start with Richard Dreyfuss coming down from the
Yes.
sky.
Yes.
I still want to see a mashed potato circus movie. I don't know.
Love that movie. I love that movie so much.
Movie. I haven't seen that in
I've
so
only seen it
long.
like once as a teenager. I need to
I saw it when
rewatch
I was
it.
like 15.
Yeah, because I remember my mom telling me all about it. Like,
Yeah, it kind of scared me a little.
yes,
Like,
it scared me too.
oh, that scene where the alien kidnaps the kid in the house with all the little
Yeah.
the pre-poltergeist mechanical toys walking across the
Yeah. Oh my God.
rewatch it. It's worth a
Or
rewatch.
just the
I'm
idea that
gonna
Richard Dreyfuss would choose to leave Earth to go with the aliens. Like, I feel like actually that is more of a now. Like, we needed to see Emily Blunt go with the aliens. Like, that is more of a now thing. Like, you're
He's like,
choosing to
I'm out,
leave this.
guys.
Yeah.
But see, Earth, the aliens are on Earth.
Right.
So.
So it doesn't work. Yeah. Paul.
Oh, fuck.
I mentioned we said at the top this film is not about aliens. What do you think it is about? Empathy?
I think ultimately pointing at what you were saying, Clarence, about the last line of the movie, maybe Spielberg is trying to say that we have lost the ability to listen to each other so much that it leads to, like, you can say listening is such a huge theme of the movie, considering how Josh O'Connor can hear stuff and Emily Blunt can't hear stuff and things like that. So I'm gonna probably just say, listening to one another sounds so fucking cheesy, but there we are.
Human connections.
Human connection. Yes, that's better than my cursing explanation.
I don't know. I think this movie's about a lot of things. I think it's about, like,
Sitting.
yeah, like, yes, finding a chair in a room. I just thought Colin Firth's performance was so weird.
It
was
was
just,
weird,
yeah.
and that's why in movies like E.T. and Close Encounters with the government agencies that are trying to track down the protagonist, they're nameless, faceless people. And I think it works a lot better when you're focusing on the people who are hunted and not
Yeah.
spending so much time. I, as much as I love Colman Domingo as an actor, I just did not find anything useful about his character. He was like this plot device move forward person. I can't think of
Yeah.
the right word, but it just it I don't know, it felt wasted, like time wasted when we could have been spending more time with Emily Blunt.
Yeah, I felt like, I mean, I think there's a version of this film that is about government transparency and, like, hiding secrets. I think there's also a version that's just simply about human connection. I think it kind of tries to do both of those things, and I really don't know what it's about, but it's not about, I don't think it's about aliens.
No, I would agree. I love what you thought, what you said at the beginning, Joey, about it being almost like the release of the Epstein files. Like, it's so funny too, because we go to a we had a disclosure day. We are having disclosures right now where the Epstein files were released, but there's so much redacted. And then, the UFO files are released, but they're all images of things that we've seen already before. Like, there's you get the sense that there is evidence out there and they're never going to release the real thing.
Maybe that, I mean, maybe just the creation of this movie at this time when that is happening is like the grossest parallel that could possibly happen, because if it's gonna say stuff, and the aliens are the kind of aliens, they say it a couple of times where they say, "Do there's nothing to fear with these entities." And then you have these, again, this movie has been in development, so it's really all about timing. You have these real life fucking monsters running around hiding the most heinous, horrible crimes that the mind can possibly imagine. So as soon as I thought that, like, halfway through the movie, I was making a joke, and then as soon as I made it, I was like, oh fuck, this is kind of depressing. The only thing that I would say that Jason had a problem with, he was like, where do all the government people get the brand new cars? They get into a wreck, brand new car in the next scene. He gets run over by an invisible fire engine, and brand new Escalade in the next scene. He's like, where are all the cars? Where are all the new cars coming from? Not to take this thoughtful conversation to a really fucked up place, but here we are.
There we go. It just makes you wonder, Are we as a people really, we always talk about wanting the truth. Do we really want the truth?
Yeah, that's what
It's
I
like
think is
Jack
probably what the
Nicholson.
film's about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. You
Yeah.
can't handle the truth.
Yeah. And then even to a degree of like these people who are supposed to be the heroes in it that want the truth out there, but like, are they really heroes? Maybe Colin Firth was onto something. Yeah.
I don't know. I like the things that it says. I just think some of the notes are off key.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
I have a question. Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of things not being off key, Clarence, what did you think of the John Williams score?
I have the score on my phone. It's classic John Williams. I love it. It's a little bit Close Encounters. It's a little bit Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's a very
Yeah.
symphonic score. I hope and pray that this gives him a last Oscar.
Some people were saying even John Williams didn't have it with the score. I'm just like, stop.
Maybe film
Stop.
Twitter people should get out of their mom's
Those people need not
basement.
meet me in a dark alley with a butcher
I
knife.
would
I'm
say you
just
would beat
saying.
them in a fully lit alley.
I would love the like headline for that, like man beats up other person over John Williams score. Like I'm paraphrasing. That's a terrible
No
headline, but you
court
get
would
it.
convict me.
No.
Entirely justified. Come on
Yes.
now. I don't. When I'm not going to be emotional. I've said this before. I'm not going to be emotionally ready for the day that he passes because he is, not a young person. But the conversations that I see online about the generation that was raised with The Lion King, who now say that Hans Zimmer is the greatest composer, film composer ever to live, and they will say that he is so much better. Like, this is a real thing of kids my son's age, where most of his friends are like, John Williams is a hack, it's Hans Zimmer. And I'm like,
These kids arguing about composers.
well, I don't know.
They're really smart either
Renaissance
way.
kids. They're all high. What are you talking about?
Joey and I just argue over the Muppets.
They're like, John Williams is a hack. Give me my vape. Where's my
Yeah, that's
vape?
exactly what they're talking about. Which, how do you guys, I haven't heard another Muppets conversation in a while. How do you guys feel about the one and done Muppet show with Sabrina Carpenter?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I didn't see it, but
It's good.
yeah, I'm sure it is. I just don't like the Muppets with Jason Segel. That's
He's
my
not in
thing.
it, so
Okay, that's
yeah.
probably why I
This is
like it.
like classic Muppet Show Muppets.
Okay.
I was so odd to me that they only did that one episode. I kept thinking there was going to be more coming, and it was just the one.
Yeah, I guess it's an Emmy contender for special, but I feel like they're two, the last couple of Muppet movies, aside from, I guess maybe there's only one after the Jason Segel one was a success, and then like they've had, I think, two shows get canceled and one movie didn't do well, so I guess Disney doesn't want to bet on the Muppets, which makes me sad.
Always
It's
bet on
member
the Muppet.
berries. It's
Yeah.
member berries. Anyway, last thing I will say, I know that we're loath to always talk about Oscars in terms of film, but I would love to see Emily Blunt get a nomination. I think she's fantastic. I don't ne necessarily think she needs to win for this role, but I would love for somebody to recognize her. I was telling someone I felt like she would be nominated for Golden Globe, she'll be nominated for Critics' Choice, she'll be nominated at SAG, and she'll miss out on Oscar because that's just the Emily Blunt trajectory sometimes. And of course, I would love to see John Williams score. Those are the only two things I think are worthy of attention.
I would say that too. And she is really good in it. I was like, oh, she finally like is a lead in something that knows what to do with her in some way, even though the script's not great, obviously. But like she so many times she's been like, almost like there with things like I am thinking of like the Tom Cruise movie that like he took all of the attention from, and even Sicario, but like this is like, oh, this is the Emily Blunt show, and like good for her.
Agreed.
I think she would be, I'm sure someone can can, tell me how wrong this is if anybody's listening. But I mean, like, would she be like, in terms of Spielberg movies, like the only like women that I can think of that have been nominated for a Spielberg movie are like Whoopi Goldberg, all the women who are in The Color Purple, like Sally Field in Lincoln. I guess the
Carrie
only
Underwood DeBose.
woman, the only woman who has won a for a performance in a Spielberg movie is Ariana DeBose, and I think what the only, I mean, the most recent man is
Daniel
Bridge of
Day-Lewis.
Spies.
Oh no, you're
Daniel
right.
Day-Lewis, yes.
Which came
Whatever.
first, Lincoln or Bridge of Spies?
Lincoln was 2012.
Okay, Bridge of Spies was 2015 or
Yeah.
2014. So it's
Oh,
Mark.
Mark Rylance. So I mean, like, I would love to see a. She's just so good, and this is the type of movie that comes out, and then when it finally comes around Oscar time, and we're all talking about the same eight people in every category, somebody thinks they're really smart. They're like, I want to talk about Emily Blunt. Let's do it. Like that's it happens every year. We're all guilty of it. It's just like some that always happens. We're like, I'm gonna put you all the way back to June. Let's talk about Emily Blunt. So,
I don't know. We'll
and
see.
that
I mean,
lady that no one knows her name.
it that yeah.
I know
I
her
did.
name. I learned it. Hold on. Courtney Grace. I was right.
That the actor or the character?
Hold on.
When I said earlier, what's her name? I didn't mean the actress. I mean, people would talk about the actress. I mean, like, who's the character? That's what I want to know.
I thought you meant the actress.
No, I've seen her name plastered all over Twitter, and I'm glad people are like,
I don't know what her character's name is.
I mean, it's probably Anchorwoman.
Yeah.
Lady.
Hello, lady.
Hello, lady.
Anyway, there's certainly more conversation to be had, and I think the ultimate end game for the film in term in terms of whether or not Emily Blunt can be elevated into a into the conversation is how it continues to play out in theaters. It opened bigger than I think people were expecting, given the divisive reaction to it from its opening night. So we'll see what the next couple of weeks looks like.
I saw it today at noon, and I would say there were about like 30, 40 people there, which I was a little surprised by.
Very good. Well, like I
Yeah.
said, it's definitely worth checking out in theaters. It may not satisfy all itches, but it's better than m live action Moana, I'm sure.
I can say without a shadow of doubt, you're correct.
Oh my God, the wig. The wig.
Wig.
The wig is
There were no gay
oh.
people on that set. That's all I'm going to say. There were no gay people on
How
that
do you
set.
give The Rock long hair? Like, the man is
Any
known for
hair.
being bald. Anyway, we are on a tangent. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Megan, why don't you go?
Well, I am going to the Bentonville Film Festival this week in
Yeah.
Arkansas, so I'm very looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to the Widow's Bay finale. And yeah, I guess that's about there's I'm still, catching up on lots of TV, but that's probably about it. Those are the major things.
Joseph.
This weekend is Pride in Columbus. I already have a slutty outfit already ready. Super, super
Please send
excited.
me those pictures.
That's weird.
Are
I'll be in public, so it's
they assless
not like
chaps or chaps?
no, I call them Afghan shirts because I don't know what they are. You know those like shirts, like they're very in with
Like a
gay people.
linen shirt?
No, they have like they're sort of like a sort of, I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
I have
I did
that
ask
with
for it.
slutty pair of shorts, pink shoes, fanny pack that works. It's all good.
Okay.
And then I am gonna start watching Widow's Bay, even though I think when we got screeners for it, I was like, oh, this sounds really good. And I saw the trailer, I was like, this looks really great. And then I haven't started watching it. And then I think I won't say it because I'm pretty sure Clarence, this is Clarence's, but I will say that I too want to see that film. And there is something else. What else? Oh, I've already seen it and I interviewed the director today, so my interview is gonna drop later this week. But there is a movie coming out, it's from Australia. It's called Leviticus. It got picked up out of Sundance. And it's got distributed by Neon. It is basically, it's kind of like it's a little It Follows-ish, where it's basically a conversion therapy has like a fucked up twist to it. So if a gay person gets this sort of seen by this like shaman or weird person, the person they see an entity coming at them to kill them, and it's in the form of the person that they like desire the most. So it's about two boys who are sort of trying to figure out what is real and what is not. And I saw it last week, and it's like 85 minutes long. I told the director today, I was like, that's sexy as fuck to me. I have no idea. And it's lean, it's scary, it's sexy. It's also like I told him, like, I've never seen a horror movie that I was like, this is really sad. It's really sad, but it's really good. Good movie. I'm done. Happy
All right.
Pride.
Happy Pride. The film that Joey was speaking of, the film that Joey referenced would be Toy Story 5,
I didn't
a
realize that was
sequel.
this week.
A sequel that apparently we need and didn't know that we needed, because everybody 2 years ago was like, oh, fuck you, Disney, for ruining Toy Story yet again. And now the early word, the official reviews haven't come out, but the early word is that this is one of the better Toy Stories that have been made. So I'm
Aren't they
excited.
all good?
I think they're all good.
Yeah, I think they're all
The
good. They're all good.
internet tends to pile on number four, but the internet,
Why? I
I
liked
don't know.
four.
Four is
Christina
gorgeous.
Hendricks is in that movie.
Yeah, that was the one where they're like, it's kind of It's
like
where they're at
Woody.
the
Like at
what?
the, it's like
At the
where
antique
they're,
shop.
yeah, I like that one.
First of all, it's hands down the most gorgeous, one of the most gorgeous films, because it's got the carnival at the end and they're all standing
Yeah.
on the color in that is insane. People are always talking about color grading in films, and yet Toy Story is a
Yeah.
perfectly made film. It's got those weird ventriloquist dummies that are the
Oh, yeah.
those are creepy as hell. It's just such an interesting film.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting one. I can't even remember. Was that 2 years ago that it came out or longer?
I think it was
It
longer.
feels longer.
Three,
Yeah.
2003. I feel like it was like
2003.
2000 up to 2002. I thought it was like 2022 or 2021. I don't know.
It's anyway, Toy Story 5, tech. That's all it is. Tech.
2019.
Right, it was
Pre-pandemic?
pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
I saw somebody say that this is the first time where they put, I don't know if this is true or not, but they said it puts a real focus on like the human element of the story for the first time, and I'm very intrigued by that.
I'm also intrigued because it's the first one that's rated PG. So,
Ooh. Are they going to
dropping
finally say
fucks.
fuck?
Hold on now.
You get one fuck in a PG-rated movie, just one.
But I am also going on vacation next week. And so I'm going to unplug from everything and I'm going to watch a bunch of movies and catch up on a bunch of TV. I want to rewatch AI. I think I'm ready, emotionally ready to go back
Oh.
to AI. I've only seen it twice, sobbed both times. So we'll see. We're going to watch fuck the Ryan Gosling Project Hail Mary. We're going to watch Project Hail Mary for the first time. I'm going to rewatch War of the Worlds. Probably Ready Player One, a Spielberg movie that I was like, this is low tier Spielberg, and I've seen it like six times since then, just because it's like it's insane what it's trying to do. And some TV shows, just maybe I got screeners of The Bear, might catch up
Not
on
bad.
that. Although there's been a special episode on Disney Plus,
Yeah,
or
that's
that just was
right.
like a bottle episode hanging out there that I still haven't seen. Book-wise, I am hopefully going to finish because I don't know that I can stand much more of it. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, the book that everybody loves but me.
I didn't love it either.
I
Is that the one
see, I
that
haven't.
Anna Kendrick is doing? Yeah.
Yes, that's
I
why
thought it
I.
was fine. It was kind of like, it's okay. Like, it was just.
It's okay. I have issues, and this is like my personal thing. I have issues where people try to recreate the entertainment world and Hollywood, and when they're talking about Evelyn Hugo was nominated for the Academy Award, and Buzz Aldridge was nominated for the, you know, all that makes this fake Hollywood that just doesn't, it just doesn't feel real. And I feel like
Yeah.
it's taking the narrative framing device is a journalist that I don't feel has ever written a story or interviewed anybody in her life.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
just it just it feels fake to me, and that's fine. You know, it's a and plus its central theme is a little repetitive.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
anyway.
I felt that way too. It wasn't something that I was like,
Okay.
I was just like, oh, okay. So you're not the other one.
Okay. Very good. All right. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's contending co-founders, Clarence Moy, Megan McLaughlin, and Joey Moser. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on your favorite podcast app and click like and subscribe here on YouTube, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.